As Tim comes next week to start our study of John's Gospel, looking at John chapter 1, I thought it would be good if we had an overall look at John's Gospel and see what it's all about. How are we going to get the most out of our study of John's Gospel? Well, first question is, who is this John? Well, he's one of the first disciples, the brother of James, described as sons of thunder in Matthew 4:21, fishermen with their father Zebedee. And they're described as mending their nets when Jesus calls them to follow him. He's also there at the transfiguration of Jesus with Peter and James, mentioned in Luke 9 verse 28. He's asked to go and prepare the Passover meal for the Last Supper in Luke 22 verse 7, again with Peter. He's there again with Peter at the resurrection at the tomb, described as the other disciple. Luke 20 verse 8 says, he saw and believed. And then he's described a number of times as the disciple that Jesus loved. Not mentioned by name, because John is the writer, and it's obviously about himself. Once it refers to Lazarus, but the other five times in John's Gospel, it refers to John himself, an intimate friend of Jesus. That's who John is, the brother of James. When was it written? Around AD 90. It was the last of the Gospels to be written. So why was it written? If there were three other Gospels, Matthew, Mark and Luke, that have been written describing the life of Jesus, then why did he have to write another one? A clue to that is there in John 20, verses 30 to 31. That reads, Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. It's an evangelical gospel. The intention is to help people come to know Jesus as their own personal saviour. It's not a biography. Nor is it a theological argument. It's there to convince us that Jesus is God the Son, and that through him we can find real life, eternal life. Really the bottom line of the Christian faith, what the Christian faith is all about, a relationship with Jesus and how we achieve that. John misses out things in his gospel which the other gospel writers include. A glaring example of that is there's no mention of Gethsemane in John's gospel, but he does fill us in on some of the gaps that the other gospel writers miss, those that demonstrate, as far as John is concerned, his majesty and his deity. He has a particular emphasis on the miracles of Jesus. Key examples of the things he highlights are that there is one way to God, John chapter 14. That the way to eternal life is spelled out in that most famous verse, John 3 verse 16. And as he tells the story of Nicodemus again in John chapter 3, we find out that we have to be born spiritually again. I found it very helpful that in the notes to one of my Bible versions, it described Genesis 1 as God speaking the world into existence. And that in John chapter 1, God speaks salvation into existence. Genesis 1, God spoke the world into existence. John 1, God speaks salvation into existence. Obviously, his encounter with Jesus radically changed John from a son of thunder, perhaps somebody who lost his temper very radically and very often, to somebody who was a loving, caring person, very close to Jesus. As it radically changed John, then we pray that as we enter this study of John's Gospel, it will radically change us and strengthen our faith. Amen.